Hallelujah.
All right, turn your Bible quickly to the book of John. It happens to be that part of my calling, a major part of my calling, is in the area of dispensing the truth of the Word of God. And the labor that that call entails in that regard requires that we go before the Lord in the place of prayer. And we present before Him the book of the Acts of the Apostles that happens to be our guideline, our manual. And we look at the texture of our faith as it is enshrined in the book of Acts. And we take a very good look at the status of the body of Christ in our time. Prayerfully, we ask the Lord to give us insight into what exactly is missing in our current belief system that is responsible for the decline of glory, even though our destiny is to exceed the level of glory that is captured in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. But when we see a situation of decline, we begin to inquire of the Lord to give us insight into what is lacking. And what he told us that is grossly lacking in this time happens to be an understanding and participation in the ministry and the person of the Holy Spirit. So during the course of this conference, we are trusting that God will introduce a spiritual person to us. There is a theoretical side to what I'm trying to bring to your notice tonight, and there's also a practical side. So we do the theoretical side before we move to the practical side. And if it is true that the Holy Ghost happens to be a person, my job is to make him visible. Everyone will see a person walking in this place that is designed by God to complete us. Your state, your status, is a state of insufficiency without the Holy Ghost. And God deliberately designed us to be insufficient because He had a plan. Our sufficiency will be found in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so if we do not know this individual, we are going to be shortchanged. And we are going to live life measured. But God, who specializes in strengthening and to giving us might by His Spirit, is present in this conference to open up a thing or two in order to reintroduce us to a person that you may have neglected for a very long time. Turn your Bible with me to the book of John chapter 16. Jesus attempted, okay, maybe we'll begin from 15. I'll just pick a verse from 15 and then we'll run to 16. Then you will see Jesus attempting to introduce this individual to us. My emphasis tonight, and indeed during the course of this conference, is not to show you what the Holy Spirit can do, but to introduce you to a person of the Holy Ghost. Many more times than not, we are interested in what He can do. But you see, you need to know Him. There's a difference between preaching Him and knowing Him. And in a moment of time, you are going to see the practical aspect of this knowledge of which I speak. And it is a heritage of every single believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that God will open the vista and will open your eyes to see that we have neglected the most important person for so long a time. If you are still with me, say amen. Like I said, my emphasis is to show us this person. He can do so many things. We cannot exhaust his capacity. But I want to introduce him to you because Jesus made a very robust attempt in the book of John chapter 15 and John chapter 16 to introduce the person of the Holy Spirit. First of all, I want to pick a verse of scripture before, from this chapter 15, before we move to chapter 16. And that verse will be John chapter 15, verse 26. Like I said, the emphasis is to introduce you to a person. This is Jesus speaking. And just in case you have a red letter Bible, you'll find it is all in red. He said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, the first thing we see in this verse of scripture about the person of the Holy Spirit is that he proceeds from the Father. Hallelujah. That's where he comes from. He's bringing an errand from the Father. I would like to open a scripture to us in the book of Genesis to show how Abraham sent one of his servants, if we take a good guess, it will say he sent Eleazar of Damascus, even though it is not captured as such. But all the symptoms of the description of the individual suggests it is Eleazar of Damascus. He sent him, in fact, he compelled him to take an oath, to put his hand upon his thigh, to take an oath that he will not go to the daughters of the Canaanites to get a bride for his son. And the guy, we don't know whether how his face looked while he was, but he took the oath anyway. If we could sample his face, we would have discerned if he was reluctant or not, but all of that was not captured in what happened. What happened eventually was that he took the oath. He put his hand on his thigh and he took an oath as to where he would go to get a wife for his son Isaac. In the answer of Damascus proceeded from Abraham. That means the scope of activity that was allowable in on his mission was consistent with that which he took an oath to prosecute. Are you with me? Or you are not with me? Stay with me. There were so many things the guy had the ability to do, but because he was under oath, his creativity was no longer required. He was going exactly to accomplish that for which he swore to do. It's in the same way that the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father. And meanwhile, if we look at that context very critically in the book of Genesis, where the story I'm talking about is captured, and we look at it from a theological perspective, you will find that it was the Holy Spirit that came to prepare us, that is even preparing us even now, for Jesus, the Father's Son, as a bride. Are you with me? So that story is a powerful illustration of the ministry and the person of the Holy Spirit. If you are going to find him, if you want to know what he sent to do, we need to understand what he swore to accomplish when the Father was dispatching him. Because he's going to on this mission in the name of the Father. He's going on this mission as the Father. And so if you understand his mission, and if you see what he's doing, it's actually the Father's will that is being implemented. His own personal creativity, his own personal opinion doesn't count on that errand, because he's going in the name of another. Jesus said, are you with me? That he proceeds from the Father. When Eleazar of Damascus came to the very territory that was allowable by the oath he took to look for a wife, God had gone ahead of him. And there was an elaborate outline of the activity of the Holy Spirit that was captured in the person of Eleazar of Damascus, being an example of one that proceeded from another. Are you still with me? If we study about the Holy Ghost, you'll find one of his attributes is that he will not speak of himself. The reason why he doesn't speak of himself is because he's under oath to carry out an errand for his Father. For the Father. Are you there? Oh, you're not there. Now, so, first thing Jesus says about him is that he proceeds from the Father. So if we can actually discern the errand that is in the heart of the Holy Spirit, we can know what is in the heart of the Father. Because he is manifested in the Father's name. Jump to John chapter 16. Jesus still continued, and in his discourse, he begins to give us insight again about this personality that is coming to take over the stage of the implementation of the economy of God. Jesus took a lot of time to introduce him and his mission. I'm not so concerned about his mission. I'm concerned about him. Okay? John chapter 16, beginning from verse 7. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not in me, of righteousness because I go to the Father and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." See, Jesus expresses what we call ministerial frustration in that scripture. He says, "I have so many things to tell you. But it's obvious you don't have the capacity to bear the things that I want to tell you." And because of that, Jesus refuses to say those things he intended to say. Because there was a deficiency of capacity to bear the things that he wanted to communicate, he refrained from communicating. It means before Jesus will speak, Jesus comes and takes an evaluation of your capacity to contain the things that he wants to communicate. And if, according to his evaluation, we lack the stature to contain the things he has to communicate with us, he will rather not say them. Now, you have heard this, my story, again and again. I think I need to still say it again. A certain prophet in a city, so good with the prophetic gifts, and because of that, he comes highly recommended. Not a false prophet, not the ones you are thinking about. A real prophet, okay? Because the landscape is flooded with so many people bearing that title that need to be in jail, actually. Amen. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So this woman wanted to meet with the prophet. She felt she had challenges that were mysterious, and she would need some form of insight to guide her on how to go about the challenges that she had. She felt she needed to meet with the prophet. And the prophet has some protocol established around him. There are three sets of barriers you may need to surmount in order for you to see the prophet face to face. The purpose of this story is not to describe whether it is right or wrong to have barriers. We don't know what challenges the prophet had, for which he had to set up an administration to manage the affairs of visits and all of that. So this woman survived the first barrier, survived the second barrier, came to the third point, and the third barrier is the personal assistant of the prophet. If he comes and checks your face, and your face doesn't look like the face of someone that should see the prophet, you may need to start the whole process again. So, and her face was not particularly favored by the surveillance of this personal assistant. So she missed the opportunity to meet the prophet. Well, to cut the long story short, the prophet was on route a certain part where the woman's shop was, and his jeep had a flat tire. So they had to change the tire in front of her shop, and the PA that did not favor her was not present on that occasion. So she was able to meet with the prophet. The moment the prophet came down and the woman greeted him, he tapped into the secret of her life and said, well, your mother is responsible for this affliction. She couldn't believe that, because two of the times she went for consultation, it was her mom that took her to meet the man of God in question. So it was difficult for her to receive the word of the prophet. The prophet decided to go deeper. And he said, Do you know this person? This person is your mom's younger brother. You know him. Do you remember that he brought this and that and that? That was the day the transaction to lock you up was concluded, and your mom's younger brother was actively involved. He was the errand boy. She still doubted. He went further again and brought other details. Until she was convinced. The moment she was convinced, the tire swapping was accomplished, and there was no further opportunity for the prophet to educate her on how to use the information, the revelation that has come to her. That revelation that she was not instructed on how to use is the cause of the civil war in that family. There is an eternal civil war in that family. Only Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, can come down and solve that problem. And it was occasioned by a revelation that was given to someone that doesn't have the capacity to handle it. If it were Jesus, Jesus will hold on that revelation if he knows you don't have the capacity to handle it. So are you still with me? Yes. Stay with me. So one of the differences between the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is that Jesus will be frustrated in communicating what is on his heart if there's a capacity challenge. Are you there? But in the ministry of the Holy Ghost, there is no capacity challenge. You see, I want to draw your attention to a few differences here. And I trust that the Lord will give you understanding. He said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. And meanwhile, Jesus is not keeping the revelation from you. He is keeping it for you. Even in your walk with God, I hope you know there were some things that God had to allow you mature to certain levels before he could disclose. Do you remember when Gideon, remember those days when we were asking for power? Now, if the measure of power and authority we carry, if it had come that time, we would have squandered it in the flesh. Because it was not because of kingdom reasons we wanted the power. We wanted the power because we felt we had something to prove. And as long as you are in that condition, God will keep you dry for your sake. Because that you are proving as you are on escapade to prove, the flesh will make you unwise. And Satan will find occasion against you. So the metrics and the politics behind our spiritual life, the dynamics of satanic resistance and all of that, makes God in his love to keep us away from several things that we think we need. So there is that aspect of God that will refrain from allowing some of your desires come to pass if the reason for which you desire those things will be destructive ultimately to your destiny. But it happens to be that in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, some of the reservations that Jesus had do not feature. And I need to show you why. So Jesus will hold back just if he knows you do not have the capacity to contain the weight of things that he wants to bring to your knowledge. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus said that those things he has refused to communicate, they are captured within the ministry of the Holy Ghost in the regime that he is bringing. He said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. You see, what he does, are you there? The Spirit of truth has a different approach to bringing you into the things of God. Jesus will say the things of God, and then the substance of the things he's saying will be furnished upon your heart. It becomes as much a part of you as your own beating heart. But the Holy Spirit has a different approach. First of all, the Holy Spirit brings you into the reality of those things. Are you there? Jesus will say it, and then the reality will be furnished in your heart. But the Holy Spirit will bring you into the reality first, and then you are the one that will be proclaiming it to other people. So because that reality is already furnished in you, you don't have a capacity problem. You know the thing experientially. And he can take you through a lot of discipline, a lot of process, a lot of dealings, in order for you to qualify to carry the weight of the glory of that reality. If you can carry... Oh, you are not with me. Now, this gallery that is in this place, I was here when it was built. The engineers anticipated the fact that you people will be sitting up there, and all of that was built into the calculation that was put into the strength of material. Are you with me now? When we deal with God, God operates in a civilization called glory. And in order for you to interface with glory, glory is heavy. Glory is in weights and in measures. So there are several things that their reality, their corresponding reality in glory, are so heavy, and you will need powerful strength of material to be able to carry it. So the Holy Spirit will now take you through processes, take you through experiences that will release your faith, that will damage your doubt, that will do much damage to your ambition and the things of men that you carry along as baggage. These dealings will now make you appropriate to be able to carry the reality of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to tell you. And he offers you the opportunity to understand it experientially. When you have come into the experiential context of those things, your knowledge of the thing is consistent with the experience that the thing has brought you into. So you know it enough to be able to speak about it. In the case of Jesus, he speaks about it. But in your case, if he has guided you into all truth, you become the one to speak about the things that you have experienced in him. It makes you one with the thing. It makes you one with the dimension. So you become an authentic herald of that dimension because of the things that the Holy Spirit has furnished around your life. So if we check the educational approach of the Holy Ghost, it is experiential in mode. Please help me tell your neighbor, experiential. Sometimes when you study the Old Testament, you will read scriptures like, and Adam knew his wife. There is a way he experienced her that is, you can't learn. Are you with me? That's the same way he affords us the opportunity for experience, so that there is this personal experience that you have gained by reason of interfacing and intercourse with the Holy Ghost that is unique to you. That's why the dimensions of the Holy Spirit you can wield is consistent with your own personal experience of it. That's what makes you different from the minister sitting by your side. It's called experience. That's, first of all, his teaching style and his teaching aid. Are you with me? There were people in the ranks and files of Jesus' education that will come back and ask Jesus, why could we not cast the demon out? Because what Jesus did to cast the demon out was exactly what they did and failed. Are you with me? Jesus used the same words they used, but it's alright. We're not bad students. What you taught us is what we say. How come our own didn't work? You see, the people did not have the experience the dealings of the Holy Spirit that qualifies them to be carriers of authority. They thought it was parroting the matter that makes it efficacious. Hallelujah. So he has this mode. His mode of education is largely experiential. So I want to take you to the cabin, the experiential cabin. That's where the Holy Ghost is. There are a few facts I need to bring to your knowledge quickly. If the scope of learning that we are going to be deriving from the Holy Ghost is experiential in nature, then I need to take you to the experiential cabin. First thing you need to understand about the Holy Spirit, can we read the scripture in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23? Please help me tell your neighbor, if something has not yet affected your heart, it cannot change your life. As powerful as a theological school is, it cannot produce a minister. What you are receiving from that place is intellectual, is in your brain, except there is a model by which you can, your heart can be angulated for experience. If not, you'll come out with a certificate. Just like on a wedding day, people come out with a certificate. The certificate they receive is by no means proof, evidence. By no means sufficient evidence to show that they have the capacity to live out that marital life. So there are a lot of things you can know mentally that you really don't know, because true knowledge as administered by the Holy Ghost is experiential. There is a wide difference between mental, cerebral knowledge and experiential knowledge. And it happens to be that the Holy Spirit, he administers education through experience. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23, I'd like to show you how you look like. Because we've been saying it here for many years, and those that have ears to hear should have heard now that we are not spirits. You know, for a long time, the insight that we are spirits had circulated around the body of Christ. And there's no scripture to prove that, because you are not a spirit. You have heard my scripture, my defense for that position, which is the book of Luke chapter 24 verse 39, and in the words of Jesus. Alright? We've done that again and again. I don't want to do it today anymore. But I want to show you what we are. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to this scripture, because the word holy was used in the verse, indicative of the fact that you are spirit, soul, and body. And the sanctification that is spoken about here has implication on your spirit, implication on your soul, implication on your body. And it will interest you to know, okay, someone is accusing me now. I can go back to Luke chapter 24 verse 39. I've done that too many times. So, give me that scripture, okay? Someone is saying, what's this man talking about? 39, not 29. 39. Luke 24, 39. This is Jesus speaking. And Jesus says, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as he see me have. And this is the resurrected Jesus speaking. Indicative of the fact. Are you there? The resurrected Jesus is saying that the spirit does not have flesh and bones, so you are not a spirit. In order for us to formulate doctrine, we need simple scriptures, and we need to be able to reconcile scriptures. There is no way it is possible for you to reconcile the scripture and arrive at the conclusion that man is spirit, because the great master, the great teacher, had already said, just in case you don't know spirit, they don't have flesh and bones as you see me have. If you conduct a test on the person sitting close to you, you will find flesh, and there's a hard substance there called bone. That's not how a spirit is. Are we okay? All right, so he takes us to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and he shows us that when we talk about man, he has God's intention is to sanctify man. And he now mentioned the parts of components that make up man. He mentions what? Spirit, soul, and body. And for your information, the Bible says there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. He didn't say man is a spirit, just say a spirit is in him. There's an aspect of him that is a spirit, but he is not a spirit. He is spirit, soul, and body. And the reason why I went to all this trouble is to show you one thing. Are you there? Only spirit can contact spirit. If we are talking about the Holy Spirit, the aspect of you that has the capacity to contact him is called your spirit. Are you there? Your spirit is the only aspect of you that can contact him. In fact, the influence of or the implication of your contacting him can overflow your mind, can affect your body, but the aspect of you that can contact him is your spirit. So the first thing we need to know about coming into that layer of experiential knowledge is that your spirit is the only aspect of you that can contact the Holy Spirit, given that only spirit can contact spirit. Is that clear? We will need to further educate us on how to exercise your spirit. The reason why we may need to exercise our spirit is because your spirit was designed in the form of a container. It was designed with the capacity to be able to contact God and to contain God with a view of manifesting God. You see, since the Holy Ghost resides in the spirit of the regenerated believer, in order for you to get spirit activity around your corridor, you must know what it means to exercise your spirit. Just like you can exercise your hands and exercise your legs, you can also exercise your spirit. In fact, this is the basic training that every believer must be given if we are going to receive help from the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Spirit happens to be a compendium of help that we need to swallow up all the symptoms of our insufficiency, and if we are going to receive that level of help, we need to understand how to exercise our spirit. If you are still with me, say amen. All right, so we will do a refresher course on exercising your spirit. And when you exercise your spirit, what are the symptoms of the experience of God? You will come to realize that that which is supernatural is not necessarily spectacular. I'm trying to introduce you to a person. And this person is not mortal. This person is a spirit being. He is a compendium of every form of sufficiency that God has to deploy around your life. It is powerful to be intellectual, but what we are talking about here is not intellectual, it's spiritual. And that's why it is possible for people that never went to the university to be very, very deep and vast in their experience of the Holy Ghost. Because it's not a function of how vast your mind has become. And I'm not saying that spirituality is a friend of mental slothfulness. Because the influence of the Holy Ghost on your life is going to take your mind into the realm of the thoughts of God. Your mind will be carried along. Even your mortal bodies can be revitalized. Everything in your space will experience the impact of the thunderbolt of the Holy Ghost that resides on your inside. And there's a great work that Paul did in bringing us into the sphere of experiential knowledge. First thing I want to bring to your notice is that only your human spirit can make contact with the Holy Spirit. Second thing I want to bring to your knowledge is that God in his infinite wisdom decided to make your spirit like a vessel, so that you can contact and contain God. If you are born again here, you contain God. God is resident in your spirit. I know what I'm saying is not new, but I want to tell you the implication. Because you can stay side by side life and die. You can stay around water and die of thirst. Amen. All right. Second scripture, which is the mother of the second point I want to raise. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Where's the man on the keyboard? There is no guarantee that I'll finish this sermon. Oh my God. Everything you need is in a personality. Just in case there are symptoms in your life, symptoms like confusion, symptoms like depression, symptoms like lack of direction. If you have those symptoms in your life, it is suggestive of the fact that you don't know the Holy Ghost. Because that's what He is there for. There are functions that your mind cannot sustain. There are issues that are deeper than your mind. And even though you made a first class in the university, when you apply your mind to those issues, you will have high blood pressure. Because it's beyond the scope of your mind. Oh my. Now, this is a wonderful scripture I want to bring to our notice. He said, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" It means, are you here? It means the things of man, the things about you, even your mind does not know it. Your spirit, which is deeper into your membrane, your meridian, and everything about you is calibrated on your spirit. So if God wants to take readings from your life, what He does is that He just reads your spirit. And all the parameters of your possibility are calibrated on your spirit. Now your spirit runs deeper than your mind. Your mind is very superficial. Most of the deceptions the enemy brings your way come through your mind. Faith comes from your spirit. Fear comes from where? Your mind. The greatest oppositions you are going to have is going to come from your mind. Your mind is superficial. There's no depth in your mind. So the devil is going to interact with your mind most times to bring you to a point of doubt. The moment you exercise doubt, it means there's a hole in your armor. Your spirit runs deeper. And all the elements of your existence, of your humanity, are calibrated on your spirit. Say, for what man knoweth the things of man? I don't have time to go into the things of man. And all the things of man are calibrated on your spirit. Your spirit knows everything about your humanity. My mom used to tell me as a nurse that circumcision is the greatest pain a man ever feels. But all of us sitting here today don't even remember how it feels. As powerful as the greatest pain is, your mind has no record of it. It will surprise you to know that everything about your life is just like a floppy disk. Do we see you? The other day I was seeing the notebook of a computer science student. And there was a head in there. How to care for a floppy disk. The teacher should be jailed. The lecturer should be jailed. He's teaching the history of computer science. May the Lord have mercy on us in Jesus' name. It runs so deep. And every significant thing about your life is captured there. So, the way you insert a pen drive and you bring it out, if God checks your spirit, everything is there. So, your spirit is the organ. It's the organ that is vast enough to interact with the Holy Ghost. Just like when you program, there are programming languages. It is only the spirit that can understand the frequency, the communication of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can speak to your spirit and communicate. They are on the same plane. They are wired, configured to recognize the same language. And it's a very deep organ. The Bible says in the same way, it says, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. It means that all about God is calibrated on the Holy Ghost. And if the Holy Ghost happens to reside in your spirit, the Holy Spirit is the entry point into our recognizing the things of God. Hallelujah. This is the basis of all spiritual knowledge. It is the fact that all that is in God is calibrated on the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost becomes part of your spirit begins to receive education about the things of God. That's a wonderful thing. You can go beyond man, and then you can begin to function like God, because the Holy Ghost knows the things of God, and the Holy Ghost is in your regenerated human spirit. The Holy Spirit can communicate with your spirit. It is possible for your spirit to become educated, and you can handle the things of God. The thing about man, are you here? The thing about man is that he's the only creature that was created in the image of another. Man is not original. Man was created in the image of another. It's a replica of another. A goat was created after its kind. A cow was created after its kind. But man was created after the God kind. And it was deliberate. Because even though we are manifest in this world, are you here? Are you here? Oh my, you are not here. Listen to me. This world, for instance, is not meant for spirit beings. The world of space, the world of time, the world of matter is meant for three-dimensional entities. So if the Bible says that God is spirit, which is John chapter 4, verse 24, it means God himself has decided to limit himself only to the spirit realm. But the reason why he accepted that level of handicap is because of you. Your vessel was created to be able to contain him. So he has legitimacy to wear you as his garment. Yeah. So it is through you that he will be able to interface with this frame of reference. And he designed your spirit as the back end that he will enter into. So when he enters into your spirit, the first few things that begin to take place is that he begins to educate your spirit. Because your spirit only has data about the things of man. Oh my. Are you here? It has data about the things of man. But he begins to upgrade your spirit because he comes with data about the things of God. And there is possibility of communication, of fellowship, of interaction, of intercourse. And so he begins to give you access to the things of God. Are you there? So that even though you are man, you function through the Holy Ghost like God upon the face of the earth. Because you have access to the database of God. You have access to the classified things that only reside in God. So if we see the symptoms of confusion, lack of direction, symptoms of depression, those are the things of man. The story of man is story of insufficiency. You were designed that way. And even the best of us, that is most educated among us, your education has not undone your limitation. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? That's my friend from Cameroon. Please welcome me. God, in regeneration, what he has done is that he has included himself in his creation. If you read the book of Genesis, you are going to see God as a spectator. He comes, he creates, and he moves back, and he observes what he has done, and he rates it, and says it's good. Right? But in the New Testament, a wonder takes place. God is factored within his creation. That's the wonder of the mystery of godliness. He wants to bring you to a point where you can share the data that is from God. share it with your spirit and upgrade your spirit to be able to handle things that are from the realm of God. Your spirit will need to interact with reality. And in order for that to happen, your spirit must be taught the language of glory. Glory is the programming language that is in that realm, just like Java, Visual Basic. We have glory. Your spirit is used to the things of men, but it must be inoculated quickly to begin to maximize its possible potential, because God wants to teach your spirit another language. Oh my God. There are knowings and there are mutterings that mortals cannot understand. Things that go beyond humanity that are possible by the Holy Ghost. So he wants to upgrade you. And I want you to know that because God is endless, our study of him will never end, even in eternity. As astronauts explore space, that's how we are called to explore God. And this exploration is possible because of the Holy Ghost. He comes with the full scope of the calibration of the things, the data that he has gotten from God, and he makes it available. If your life after this level of generosity remains normal, it is not because God did not make available to you the resources that will transform your space. Please help me preach to your neighbor. I don't want to live like a mortal man. Oh my God. You need to climb the ladder of the data, of the calibration, and climb into God. And the more you climb out of the space of man, you enter into the realm of God. The first sign that will show you have come into that realm is that in you become able, you become sufficient. The Bible says that we are able ministers of the new covenant, not according to the letter, but according to the spirit. For the letter killeth, but the spirit given by. There is a capacity, there is an ability that is made available to you, and you can function on that level. And Kurema Sila Mamo Kolia. I've been climbing that ladder. I've been updating. Because there are technologies coming from the realm of the spirit that we need to acquaint ourselves. I've been updating myself. Oh, are you aware that on the mount of transfiguration through the Holy Ghost, Peter, James, and John were introduced to new individuals. Individuals that you can never interact with if not by the Holy Ghost. They are friends in heaven that God will have you know. In fact, some of you are continuing their ministry and you have never met them. You have not interacted with them. Meanwhile, Moses came and interacted with Jesus. And he knew the essence, he knew the significance of his death and the way he should die. You are just running without connection. If you know how ignorant we are, you will beg for help. Oh, many of us think that your degree in physics for University of Agriculture will deliver you. Kabilo Bosi. I'm climbing higher. I'm understanding. I'm learning the language of glory. It's a civilization that is from another place, another realm. And the Holy Ghost brings that entire framework, that entire architecture into my space. He said, the spirit helpeth our infirmities. You were designed. No, the story of man is infirmity, is insufficiency, is yes. It's a void. So the Holy Ghost comes with the limitless dimensions. And then this weak vessel called man, if he climbs on the Holy Ghost, he can become a prince of power. I came to call you for a climb. We are climbing in God.
And that is possible because of the Holy Spirit. For no man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man that is in him. Even so, knoweth no man the things of God but the Spirit of God. So if we see your life, if we see what you can do, if we see how you tackle circumstances, and we notice that you can do the natural supernaturally, and you can do the supernatural naturally, we will now know that you have been climbing. He said, has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, is never weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the thing. That's what he does. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. For even the youth shall faint and be weary. Meanwhile, the youth are the guys that believe they have strength. He said they will faint. Their destiny is to faint and be weary. That's the story of man. All men will become faint. But there that way, it brings another possibility upon the Lord. He said they shall renew their strength. There is another kind of strength that mortality does not know. He said when you wait upon the Lord, then that strength is renewed. And the implication of that strength is that you can do the supernaturally naturally. You can mount up with wings like eagles. You do the naturally supernaturally. You can walk and not faint. It is natural to walk, but it's not natural to walk and not faint. When you begin to operate that way, you are doing natural things supernatural. You are doing supernatural things natural. It's not natural to talk to God, to pray. And somebody begins to pray as if he's not feeling the resistance. He has climbed. There are things in God he has found. He has gone beyond the capacity of man. Now, it is the hand of God that is responsible for what you see on his life. That is a threat. That personality becomes a threat to Satan. Satan doesn't want you to climb beyond your mortality. I will climb. I will climb. I'm praying that somebody will be provoked. I said the last person that died mysteriously in my family will be the last that will die. I am climbing, and I'll not stop climbing until I find an answer. Number three. The delight of the Father are those who worship him in their regenerated spirit. It means that there are some activities that can take place in your spirit. In fact, hallelujah. I hope you know when we say you are worshiping the Father in spirit, it means that the motivation, the direction, the drive began from the Holy Ghost. You see, the idea of creation is the possibility of finding the rhythm of harmony. What the serpent did in the garden was that it distorted the harmony and made man crooked. So man could no longer participate in a certain sublime form of harmony that God created. And the moment you give your life to Christ and the Holy Spirit comes to reconstitute you, you are now capable again of flowing within the ambience of that harmony. Your heart was manufactured like a harp. The Bible says it's God that tries the reins. There are tunes, there are songs, there are spiritual songs that he kindles within your vessel. And if you can incubate on those songs and keep them alive, you know that this guy is beginning to understand the essence. The essence of his existence is not mortality. The essence of his existence is a treasure that is hidden in earthen vessels. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
We have earthen vessels, but there is a supernatural, indestructible treasure that resides on our inside. And he's talking about believers. And that is the presence of the Holy Spirit that finds expression in your vessel. He said, that's the reason for which we are cast down, but not destroyed. It means the devil is trying to put pressure on us, but he cannot find our elastic limit because there is a treasure that is hidden in my earthen vessel. Oh! Many of you come out of stuff and you think it's because you are smart. No, if it were by the elastic limit of you, of your humanity, you would have crumbled long ago. But he said, we have this treasure. We have it in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. He said, we are cast down. Give me that scripture. There's something there. There's something there. And it is the activity that takes place in there that God is hunting for, God desires. I know you do a lot of thinking, a lot of analysis. You analyze data. You can even give us a quick rundown on the status of the fracture in the Nigerian economy as we speak. That's good. But the activities that take place in your human spirit. It is the Father's delight to see such worship rise from that vessel, that spirit vessel. That activity can actually take place, and it doesn't translate to a song. Because our idea of worship is a song. Singing is part of worship. But the place where worship is kindled is an environment. Only this recreated human spirit can enter into the full scope of the harmony that is found in God. Such harmony that the Garden of Eden could no longer reflect. And God had to abandon that project. Because the being that was supposed to connect that entire civilization with the vibration of heaven was no longer competent, was no longer capable of entering and interpreting the harmony. And the Bible says that the Father seeks such people that can enter into that harmony. Oh. And surrender themselves adequately so that the light of that harmony becomes something pleasant. God is hunting those people. It means you might be a great inventor. And that's good. But the Father seeks people that know how to sustain the activity that is captured within the harmony. How many of you have ever experienced that song that sings itself, the musical instrument inside? Have you experienced it before? It's a sign of spiritual health. You see, the thing you don't know is that Lucifer had music instruments fabricated on his framework. He had tabrets and he had pipes. And if you know anything about music at all, it's a combination of wind and string instruments. So when Lucifer comes into the chamber of God, and because he's called the anointed cherub, and he looks at God and designs his mood through the anointing, he creates a sound that is consistent with that mood by mixing wind and string instruments. He can change the mood of the sanctuary of God. So when God lost Lucifer to the fall, are you with me? He made us. And those musical instruments that were on Lucifer are inside. And it's the Holy Spirit that plays the harp there. Have you found that harmony? Have you found it? Is there anyone that has that harmony? He said, the Father is desperate. He wants to see that sight where the harmony can be trapped again. Now, I don't know. Do you know how to call him to play the harp? The instruments are factored inside, but only the Holy Ghost can string it. I told you before that there's more excitement inside of your heart than in Champions League. If only you know the stringer. Woo! The singer of the Song of Songs.
then you will understand that heaven is not far in terms of distance. It is sitting in a dimension. And only the Holy Ghost can lead you there. It's the Father's desire. That's when I stop being selfish. So every day we'll go to God and say, that anointing, you know, you spoke about that anointing. It's 5 years now. We have not seen. We are not concerned about what bothers. I stop being selfish. I look for the Holy Ghost every morning to string my guitar. And I stay there. He likes it. When he sees you recognizing the harmony, he is pleased. When he sees you desiring the harmony, it means you know the reason for your vessel. He is excited. If you pass through this harmony that I'm talking about and you experience it big time, you will forget about the people that hate you, the people that despise you, the people that speak evil against you. You'll forget. They'll become inconsequential. They'll become little. You can decide to ignore them. They don't matter. They are not in the harmony. They are with the crooked serpent that is crooked. Oh my God. I will leave the serpent alone. If you find this harmony, you will despise the serpent. So the Holy Ghost comes to play on the reins of your heart. That's a proof that you're in alignment with heaven. It means you can dance the dance of the angels and sing the song of songs. There is a complete dimension up for exploration. If only your eyes can be open to see that the entry point is a person. Number 4. Romans chapter 8 verse 16. I think I will stop with number 4 so that we can do the practical. Because he's alive. He said the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. This is what we call spiritual education. This is education and calibration. In order for you to be a medical doctor, you know, you need to be in a classroom, be in the lab for about 6 years. You have cadavers, you are doing, opening up, see, you know where the kidney is, you can recognize it. And then after a long time, you have practiced with professionals and experts, you can be given a patient to open up. And they know that even though you are holding a knife, you are not there to kill. You should run from armed robbers that have knives, but you submit to a doctor that has a knife. He's not there to kill. He understands the systems of your being, and he wants to enable one of the systems that have shut down to come back. There is a knowledge he acquired for studying for 6 years. And that knowledge is not all theoretical, it's also practical, hands-on. Experience counts in his world. Hallelujah. A doctor was speaking to me, went to the village and saw someone broke the skull. And he had his surgical stuff, needles, blades were not there. He improvised and he did a surgery without tools. That's a man that can change something because of knowledge. The Holy Ghost is willing to give you new levels of skill sets that are tied to knowledge that only Him can give. He needs to educate your spirit. Your spirit supports you to operate like a man. Huh? He needs to educate that spirit quickly so that your spirit can support you to live the way God intended with the resources of God. He said the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. If you know what I'm talking about, nobody should fool you from today. Nobody, if you know this thing. Someone can be saying, yes, I'm from New York. And the spirit, if you know what it means to receive witness, you will never be a victim of deception. I have a voice inside of me. Oh my. It says unto me, this is the way. Walk in it. Oh, you say you saw one business thing online. And your savings, the savings that you kept for the past 2 years, you went and uncovered your savings and invested. And there was no witness. The lamp inside of you, it has no light. If I want to make that decision, I won't sleep in the night. Hey, the spirit will begin to bear witness. I will know he's crying. Then I say, what is it? What is it? Why are you crying like this? He said, you are about to waste money. He bears witness. He bears, you can become wiser than the ancients. And he will trouble you. You want to go out to keep your key, you will forget it. You start looking for it for another 45 minutes. He's trying to catch your attention. He's trying to catch you. If it happens twice, stand and say, oh, what are you saying? He's mixing up your day. It's not as if you are not smart, but he's trying to catch you. You keep your key here and you have been looking for it for 2 hours. When you find it, don't just zoom up. Say, what are you saying? What are you saying? Because his spirit. His spirit. Somebody slept in a room in a hotel, forgot his iPhone. Checked out. The guy that came to clean the room packed his iPhone with the duvet and took it to the laundry. The guy came back and said, my iPhone has been misplaced and is here. The receptionist said, in the name of God, your phone is not. It's not. He said, no problem. He took his laptop, he programmed stuff on it. The satellite began to look for the phone. He said, you say the phone was calling that laptop. The phone can't speak, but it's communicating. It can't speak your language. The Holy Ghost, I pray you will hear. That's how he went into the laundry and everything was upside down. The more he came closer, the more he shouted. Even the manager knew he was a problem. There are some things you can misplace. They have their connections. Do you know when he cries? When he's trying to capture your attention? You are not just man. You have a treasure on the inside. I met one man and we became friends. I came back home. He started crying. What's the problem? I left food, went indoors. Oh Lord. Then he allowed me fall into a sleep for 10 seconds. And he showed me that man. That handshake was never ordained to be before my peace came. Can you tell if the spirit is communicating with your spirit? Do you know the heaviness? Do you know the unrest, the turbulence that accompanies that communication? I pray tonight that God will educate you and calibrate you such that you become wise to understand the things of God in the name of Jesus. That handshake is not registered in eternity. The next phase of your troubles will come from it. The Spirit is communicating. He's bearing witness. He said, no, you're on the wrong path. Go back home. Go and apologize. Then your pride will come and say, hey, how will they see it? He will go back to sleep. He will show you that you are walking in the forest. You are in darkness. That in that forest where you were laboring and walking, someone came and asked you your name. You forgot your name. You have no name where you are. Humble yourself. There's no way there. He's troubling you. Wisdom is speaking. And many times he doesn't use human language so that you will not confuse it for your father. There is a calibration that must prosper tonight so that we can understand the things of God. The most powerful of all the scriptures I brought is the last one, but we don't have time for that. Hallelujah. Can we pray? Can we, while you are seated, can we ask him? Can we ask him in prayer? I want to be wise, and wisdom can only come by the Holy Ghost. Teach me your language. Teach me your signs. Let my calibration continue. Let my spirit be able to identify the things of God through the Holy Ghost. Oh my. Make sure you talk to him. The hope for of nations, the hope of the peoples of the earth, is tied to your ability to be able to decipher the things of God. Many more days of struggle will come and go if we do not understand the signs of our God. Where is Tony Richie? You can pick your song now. Make sure you're praying. In the next few minutes, we are going to touch God. She's a baby. Your baby is singing. I will be singing and dancing and the song.
My daddy, your baby is singing.
Make sure you're talking to him.
Say,
I want to learn your language. I want to sing your song.
Yeah, my daddy, your baby is singing. I will be singing and dancing to the end of eternity.
There is a personality you must not neglect.
Only you, only you,
only you,
till the end, only you,
till the end,
only you, only you, only you,
God.
Together, holy.
Tonight to take us higher. The realm of superior intelligence. The place where his spirit bears witness with your spirit. It takes you to a place where there dwells no lie, no guile, no deceit can stand there. He sheds the light so that you can navigate through darkness. We are ready, O great King. Look kindly on your people, even tonight. Oh my God. Iso Selikenia Mamala. Descobre Gogala Mamorokosi Saite. Negibo son de Babala Masibre de Teria. Ando Borosikos Kedobi. Abaito. Enrica de la Suminande. Atrás que Tobria la Baboco de Brasil. Aminaitos Kalibalatala Antos Kele Aligo Belekelia Mamaya Oshima Balosombre Gadia Antos Kele Brigalai Seminalai Resco Bonde Malai Avala Mama Maracas Ketomi. Oh God. There is a language we must learn. We must be adapted to another language. A language in the realm of glory. It comes to show us the way of God, the things of God. I will no longer function like a mortal man. There is an invitation through the Holy Ghost to come up higher. Come up higher, my brethren. Chapter 29, verse 1 and 2 on the screen. Job 29, verse 1 and 2. Now listen to me. There's a whole world of education that the Holy Ghost comes to bring. An anointing can be operational on your life, and you feel a slight heat on your head, and you enjoy it. Meanwhile, that's a sign. It's language. It's language. It's a proof that something spiritual is in oppression. But for 5 years, you enjoy it like heat on your head. And many people there be that would have found deliverance through the resources that he was making available, but there was no education. He said, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. Hey! So it means there's a way out, even in darkness. When his inner candle shines, you will know what to do when everyone is confused. His candle shine upon my head. His candle shined upon my head. Job had backslid, and he was telling the story of those days when the secret of God was still upon his tabernacle. May you not sleep out. May you not wander out of this reality, because everything will become flat again. And you will desire the good old days. When his candle shined upon my head. By his light, I walk through darkness. Can you sense when his hand is upon you? Like his hand is upon me now. And because his hand is upon me, people can be healed. I will never pray for the sick until his hands come upon me. It's not trial and error. My zeal can't bring it to pass. But how will you know that that sign is a proof that there's an administration right now? Can we pray? I say, Lord, let the candlelight shine. That I might have wisdom beyond my brain. That I might become wise by the Holy Ghost. This is the hour where the sons and the daughters of God will navigate through darkness. Our nation must come out of the swamp. There's so much darkness around, but there is a candle. And that candle must shine. You will not go back empty-handed. You came all the way from the United States of America. You will go back with a shining candle on your head. Oh, Holy Ghost! I'm going to be a little bit of a
He shines tonight. In the name of Jesus. When the Holy Spirit begins to educate an individual, he has his own set of sign language. And so that you cannot copy and paste, someone's sign language will be different from yours. The reason is because each and every one of us is expected to seek out his signs from the Lord. I have seen mine. There is no school that you can receive this education other than the Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit. And from God's plan, each and every one of us was created with the potential of greatness. And that's why he found you worthy to invest his spirit in you. That's enough determination to show you his intent, his desire, his purpose. That none among his children will be a nobody. So the one that is greater than the one that is in the world now resides on your inside. If we can discover him, we can explore him enough to know his ways, then we'll be stronger than the devils that put men in captivity and that put nations in bondage. In a moment you may sit as we switch to the practical class. The Holy Ghost is a person. He can speak. But you see, we must understand the form in which his language comes. There is a form. How many of you still remember the story of Elijah? He was praying for rain. And he was asking his servant to go check the sky. It was as if the impact of what he was doing was going to appear on the canvas of the sky. His servant came back and said, "I see a cloud." For six times it was an empty cloud, empty sky. And then the seventh time said, "Something is forming. Very insignificant. It looks like the hand of a man." And Elijah did not even care to look in that direction to confirm. And he told him what was happening in the realm of the spirit. That in the realm of the spirit, there is a massive sound. There's an alarm signal. But in the natural, it appeared as if it was a signal. You see, we use the radar that is in the spirit. And if you use that radar, you will find out that the physical manifestation of something that is mighty might sustain a sound that is insignificant, a sign that is insignificant. People that are analyzing based on their carnal knowledge of things will miss out because they say it's too small for there to be a mighty downpour. But Jesus said the same way we can read the face of the sky is the same way that we can interpret the signs of the times. So every event that takes place, there is actually a spiritual sign that reveals it. But most times we are not there to receive the sign. There is a lot of learning we'll be doing this weekend by the mercy of God. And the intention is to create more hunger in your heart so that each and every one of us will go back to school and learn the signs. Hallelujah. The reason why I will not share my own signs with you is because it won't work for you.
It is custom made. Many of us escaped from school when the Holy Ghost came to teach you the alphabet. You ran before you were taught S, and that's why you don't have S in your alphabet. You took off. Now, are you with me? In the next few, maybe we'll do the healing aspect before I continue. No, let's do this aspect. In the next 15 seconds, there are four people that God is going to anoint in 15 seconds time. The reason why I know this is because the angel of the Lord is touching me here. So there are four people that the Lord is going to anoint in the next 15 seconds. And the hand of God will come upon you tangibly. So it's already coming. His hand is upon somebody already. It's upon one already. The hand is upon another person now. The hand is upon the third person now. Okay, the hand is upon, is moving towards the fourth person now. It's moving towards the fourth person. Now you see, I have a control room with me here. There are signs the Lord gives me that He's working, so that I will know. You see, hallelujah. Okay, the Holy Spirit now is showing me that there's somebody's eye He wants to heal. Now, all of you that are short-sighted, long-sighted, probably totally blind, just remove your glasses or anything. Put your hands on your eyes now. He wants to heal eyes. He wants to heal eyes. Meanwhile, I see a fire descending from heaven. This fire will come upon a sister and it will break a yoke from her life. It will break a yoke. It will break a yoke. I see the hand of God on the balcony. The hand of God is on the balcony. There is a certain individual on the balcony that the hand of God will visit, and it will visit you powerfully, and the yokes that you brought in here will break. It's on the balcony. The hand is on the balcony. The hand is on the balcony. Now, ushers, if you find that person, just wave at me, okay? Now, before we, because the windows are open, and very soon he will take over the steering wheel from me. You can know him more than your wife. Okay, he said he wants to heal eyes. Okay, put those hands on the eyes. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, tonight I ask, honor my words. I bind every blinding spirit. Blinding spirits be bound. Come out of the eyes in the name of Jesus. I break your yoke. I remove you. And I command the eyes. See! In Jesus'
name.
Leave the hand there. I'll tell you when to remove it. Just leave it there. It's an education. There's an education. Once you begin to receive it, you become a strong man. It means you can interpret the signals of God. God can use you to become anything. This is the destiny of every believer. But many of us desire to operate at the measured level. It's not God's way. Two eyes are already open. Two eyes are open already. Glory to God. All right, you can remove your hands. Run a test quickly. If you notice there's a change, maybe you can see if something has happened to your eyes, you can come. I'll take two testimonies, then we'll proceed to the next item on the practical. I'll take just two or three. Then I proceed to the next item. If you notice that there's a change in your eyes, there's a change. You try to use your eyes to read or do what you could not do without glasses and all of that. Just do it now. If you notice there's a change, you can come so that we identify it. At least two are healed. At least two. It can be more than two, but not less than two. You see what I'm seeing now? I'm seeing someone. Well, let's finish with the eyes. Power is not a function of shout. The reason why the average Christian is normal is because of lack of education. And meanwhile, in the kingdom, I need to tell you something. It's easier for God to make you rich than for Him to give you the ability to cast out devils. Because all you need to become rich is just an inspired idea that gives you direction. You follow it. It keeps producing. So at the heart, at the foundation of the teaching of prosperity is the need for the believer to know how to receive direction. It's not strategy and marketing first. It is direction. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yeah?
Yes. This brother had a situation since January that took the ability to see from his eye. And then at the
since
instance...
Since January this year?
Yes. He couldn't read without a glass. I have been scheduled for a surgery few months from now.
Scheduled for a surgery a few months from now.
At the instance of the prayer you prayed, his sight is back.
How many of you can't tell? Wait. We are still in practical. I will tell you when to clap. When we have finished everything, then we'll clap. Now I'm trying to teach. Jesus did not only teach with parables, he taught with miracles. He said, this kind goeth not. It is a practical class. Hallelujah. Since January, that's how many months? 5 months?
About six months, and you've been using that thing.
Can you come to the stage? There's someone else. Where's the second person? The eyes have been, it can be more than two, but it cannot be less than two. What's your name?
Benjamin, sir.
Benjamin. So you've been using, you like this thing? May you not labor. May not labor with one of these in Jesus' name. God is supernatural. That's how he is. It not necessarily spectacular. You know, when Paul was on his way to Damascus, he saw a light. That's spectacular. It was dramatic. God does not want to be dramatic to you. He wants to be supernatural. It's super, but it comes to you naturally, as if, right? Have you seen those people that prophesy and shake? It's a lie. It's a lie.
The idea is God wants you to flow in it as if it is natural. That's it. It's a super thing, but your experience and your manifestation of it is as though it is what? Father, we put an end to the proposed surgery. In Jesus' name. If you want to clap, you can clap now. You see, I'm even seeing two people that have already been touched on their eyes, but I can't see them here. Two people. So I'm waiting for those two people in the next few seconds. Two people. Those of you that something happened and you say a voice told you, may you master it. Let it not be a voice. Master it. I'm saying there are two people that have already been healed on the eyes. Hallelujah. Two people have been healed. So we have to be. As I was saying, I saw someone. The person was on a bed, and I could see clearly that the angel of the Lord came to visit this person. And the purpose for which the angel of the Lord came to visit the person was to give the person dreams. There were messages that the angel carried in something like a tape, and the angel was inserting it into the person's heart, like a video. Hallelujah. And I could see that the person was sitting on this row. Now, so what is happening here is that there's somebody on this row. It is God's will for you to receive a gift in the next 20 seconds. This gift will only operate when you are asleep. There is an angel that God has assigned to be bringing revelations to you. And it's going to be a consistent feature of your life. And God wants to commission you into that thing from this night. He wants to commission you into that thing from this night. So as I speak, the Lord will begin to move. And it's one individual. And the person is sitting somewhere here. It's one individual. Now, ushers, you will help me find the person that is under the influence of God's power now. Have you seen one person? That's one. It can be more. Father, show me more. Now, that's number two. Show me more. I'm still waiting for a lady. There's a lady that is in that category. There's a lady there. And the hand of the Lord will reach out on that lady. It will be so strong, so violent, so strong. As the Lord ushers you into this realm of favor. There's a realm of favor. I'm just waiting for the lady to pick it, okay? It comes stronger. Yeah. It's a calling into a level of intimacy. It's a privilege that God is making available to you. It's a privilege. Glory to God. Yes, Barrister.
Sir, yeah? These miracles are indeed very notable.
Okay.
Since this mama was born, she had never read without a glass. She couldn't read tiny letters. As soon as you made that pronunciation and you asked that people should test run the intervention, she grabbed the phone from the next person to her.
And then
and she could read.
She began to read.
Since she was born. And her father died blind. So that manifestation began to express itself on installment.
Oh my God.
And
now just leave Barrister alone. He's he's a creature by himself. Hallelujah.
This sister's own whether with glass or without glass, she can't read at all. But now, her sight
now,
is back.
Sister, first sister come. So this is the first aspect of the practical. A God that can hear, a God that can speak, and a God that can heal. That's what I'm trying to demonstrate. Because I knew that there were at least two people. It means a God can speak. This God healed her eyes. It means this God can heal. I prayed to him and he responded. It means he can heal. This is a person that I'm dealing with. Are you with me? I pray that there are people in heaven God wants to introduce you to. Yeah. Many of you, your labors is continuing somebody's labor. For me, it's Paul and Elijah. Yes, it's the spirit of Elijah I inherited. It's a revivalist spirit. Take me to where there's darkness. People will praise the Lord. They will like God. It's not by power. It's an inheritance. You look like somebody. If you can't find an aspect of the Bible that you can relate with, Jeremiah, you can identify with him. There's nothing new. You are continuing a labor. Yes, for me, it's Paul and Elijah. I received this education at his feet. So much that we need to know. Lord, we give you thanks for this miracle. And we ask that you make it permanent. Yeah, it's permanent. It's permanent. Now we can celebrate. The Holy Spirit can reveal to you the day Amrobat will come to your house. Say you are going to have uninvited guests. So be awake. Make sure you meet them. So they will come and see that the light is on and somebody is moving. They see head. The head is moving till 5 a.m. They say, this is not a good place. Lord, look upon your handmaid. Perfect her sight. In the name of Jesus. The Lord has also given you spiritual sight. As you pray, you will see things clearly. And the doors that are shut to you, I open them in the name of Jesus. We celebrate you, Lord Jesus, our Lord. Yes?
This mama also had been unable to read. But this night, her eye was open and she had been very eagerly reading tiny letters. Very tiny letters.
What I want you to see is how available the Holy Spirit is. It's available. There's no drama behind miracles. It's supposed, at some point, supposed to become normal. It's not something you pride yourself about, no. This investment is held in a person, the Holy Ghost. He can hear, he can speak, he can feel. Sometimes he decides not to talk, he will just give you signs. That's when we'll know if you are intimate with him. He will give you signs. There are two guys from the same campus, two brothers from the same campus, not biological brothers, brethren from the same campus that came for this meeting, expecting a touch. And from what I see in my vision, both you guys are sitting together. You are from the same campus. You came together and you are sitting together somewhere upstairs. Two of you stand up. Now, there's no way I can know that. Two of you come down. There's no way I can know that. But I saw it. He wants to be involved. You would say you want to go watch Champions League and forget the Holy Ghost. Why not tell him, Holy Ghost, I want to watch Champions League. Maybe it might interrupt you. He said his problem with us is that we do things without him. We don't involve him. So he has no opportunity to interrupt us, to tell us his preference, to tell us what he wants. So when you begin to cultivate your relationship with him, he is good. He's better than us. He's kind. Oh, there is a lady that I'm seeing. You are sitting somewhere here. And last night when you slept, you saw yourselves. You had a haunting dream. Someone or a creature, something was pursuing you and you were running. The thing didn't catch you before you woke up. Here, where are you? A lady. You are. Are you all? Move, okay, go this way. There's a lady here. You had that haunting dream. Come, come. You also had. He will talk to you. Okay, let's ask him for something, something that I cannot influence. Rain. It's just that we want rain in the night so that people... Okay, we can't ask him for it. Oh my God. You say you want to raise the dead, don't do shishishish, just go there. If there's a release, the dead must be raised here. Go there and say, rise up. Don't shout, rise up. In Jesus' name. And go. That word will not fall to the ground. Yes. The word can hover for 7 hours, but it will produce. It's not by power. It's not by might. It is by the Spirit of God. That's what we came to do, so that each and every one of us will become a desperate follower of the Holy Spirit. When you do something wrong, he will spank you. He will say, no, there's no. And if you have started loving him, you won't want to miss his relationship. So it becomes easy for you to receive correction because you have an interest. I have an interest. Hallelujah. I have an interest. Now, there are two of you that the Holy Spirit will touch in the next few seconds. Two of you. And it will be very powerful. It will be very powerful. There are two of you. It will touch two people. And it will be so powerful. You don't even need to believe. But it will touch two people. And his hand will be so intense. Hey, I'm seeing a young lady in the congregation. You have a heart problem. A heart problem. A heart problem. A heart problem. Young lady, stand up. Young lady, stand up. You have a heart problem. Heart problem. Please don't escape. You can be healed tonight. Young lady, if you are up or down, stand up. Usher, if you see the young lady, escort her to the front. The Holy Spirit, after I touch you, I will touch you. I will touch you people like this. And then two of you will be caught by the Holy Ghost. Two of you will be caught by the Holy Ghost. A lady with a heart problem. Bring her. Heart. Please, rise on your feet so that they will identify you. Because you are going to be healed now, you know. You are going to be healed. You will be healed. Bring her again. Yeah. Even in the second place, man. The healing in the second place, man. Be healed. Have we located the two people that the Lord is interested. You will not go back to sin. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The haunting experiences, I bring them to an end. Bring them to an end. In the name of Jesus. I bring them to an end in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. One of you went for a burial, and when you went there, there was a little family quarrel, disagreement, and you were also in the disagreement, and one of your relatives that is more elderly than yourself spoke an evil word against you. Come down anywhere you are. Come. This burial I'm talking about is not later than 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago. Come quickly. Ooh. My job is to show you that he is a person. Were you the one that went for the burial? What were you quarreling about? Please give him a mic. Let's interview him. Let's find out from him. If you are in this place tonight and you have not given your life to Jesus Christ and you want to do so tonight, as a very important point, put your right hand on your chest if that's what you want, and your left hand up. Right hand on your chest, left hand up, so that the preacher can see you. Right hand on your chest, left hand up. Don't be ashamed of him. Raise your hand before him. If your hand is raised, come to the pulpit here. I want to pray for you. If your hand is raised, you can come here. If your hand is raised, you can come here. Can you keep clapping till they come? Up into the car. Keep clapping to the car. Keep clapping to the car. The Lord Jesus is alive, and it is a living one I want to introduce you to tonight. Keep clapping. I'm waiting for the people upstairs to join up. And then I'll pray a prayer and leave your face. Amen. Now listen to me, those of you that are standing here. At the end of this life, the difference between life and death in the age to come is Jesus. There is only one door that leads to where God is. It's the one that his sacrifice has opened. It's not a shameful thing to appear before him. Many years ago, I chose him, and I have not regretted till this moment. And Satan has regretted that I found that light. And he will yet regret, because he's not in control. What you are about to do today is going to open a door to you. A door of mercy. And I pray that you will seize this door with great determination. Because in it, there is a hope of walking in your God-ordained destiny. If you are before him, I want to tell you how to address him. Can you say, Lord Jesus? Mean it from your heart. Don't say it because I'm saying you should say it. Say, Lord Jesus, I accept that I'm a sinner. I cannot help myself. Have mercy on me. Wash me in your blood. Write my name in the book of life. Give me the ability to live for you all the days of my life. Every covenant I entered into, knowingly or unknowingly, let his power over my soul be broken. Give me release from the bondage of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And Pastor, who is... All right, so those pastors there waving their hands, they will take you to the lobby and give you a reception, and then you join us before we close. Please. That's the message. If you clap harder, then we'll go faster. So we want to welcome everyone that came in for the conference, and we're going to be going from glory to glory to glory in Jesus' name.